This time of year is real busy. End of the semester, you got to travel, lots of football stuff. So it's a lot. So I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks, and then Christmas. It's a really good time for me to not do anything and just relax. But we don't really get the chance. People need us. We've got a lot of comic book stuff going on constantly, so we can't really get that much of a break. We got to get back to work.
That's
Back to
right.
work, Mike.
Let's do it.
To work. All right. You saw for the first time
For the first
X-Men
time.
First Class, which is heavily steeped in X-Men lore. Lots of the X-Men lore stuff going on. You might have been
Really?
a little
Okay.
confused.
Yeah. I wasn't confused, I don't think.
What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was really good, actually. I was like, wow, they made a good X-Men movie. Because it seems way better than what we've watched so far out of the X-Men series of movies.
It's really interesting you said that because
Had a little bit more of a serious tone to it, like even though they get into the X-Men suits near the end of the movie, which I actually liked. I liked the X-Men suits. I thought they looked good. I mean, they played it off as flight suits basically, but I thought they looked pretty good.
Yeah, it was when it came out in 2011, it was kind of presented as like a reboot. So like you had the original X-Men movies. Who directed those? Gosh, what's his name? Because
Was it Bryan Singer?
Yeah, the original Bryan Singer movies, Bryan Singer X-Men movies. And then once he left that series to go make what movie, Mike?
I have no idea, dude.
He did the original X-Men, and he did X2. And then the X-Men 3 he did not do because he went to do Superman. So he did a Superman movie.
Really? Okay.
Have you ever seen it?
I don't know.
Superman Returns. It's actually pretty good.
Who's the Superman on that one?
Brandon
Brandon Routh?
Roth. Brandon Roth, yep.
Okay, I
And
saw that one then,
the
yeah.
villain is Kevin Spacey. He does an excellent Lex Luthor. He's the best Lex Luthor I've seen in a
Yeah,
long
he's a good
time.
villain.
He's a really
That's
good
for
Lex
sure.
Luthor.
For
And
sure.
so he left the X-Men series, and so the Fox decided to reboot, and they did X-Men First Class. Now, to keep everybody on the straight, this is actually really important because X-Men First Class is a reboot. However, Bryan Singer is going to come back and make more X-Men movies after this. Okay, so this is the only X-Men movie, but don't think about the Wolverine movies. The only X-Men movie that is done that's not Bryan Singer. The rest of them,
Really?
all the X-Men 3 and this one, he didn't do. The other X-Men movies, he did.
Huh.
And when we get to
So our next X-Men movie is another Bryan Singer joint?
the next one is X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
He takes this reboot and incorporates it into his X-Men stories, so it's not really a reboot.
Okay.
So just kind of keep that in mind. I'm really curious when you
Interesting.
see X-Men Days of Future Past. It's one of my favorite, and
Interesting.
you have to understand this movie a little bit to get into that one. But anyway, I'm
This
glad
was
you.
directed by the guy that did the Kingsman movies.
Oh, well, it kind of feels that way. I don't like those movies.
You don't? I really like the direction in them.
They're a little too violent for me, to be honest with you.
Okay. I could see that. I could see
It's
that.
like a, it's a little too much. But
Yeah.
these movies kind
He's
of
got a
feel that
good
way.
style to the way he does stuff.
And some of the music stuff too, and like he just it's yeah, I can see that. But it's not this is not my favorite X-Men movie, but it's okay. It's worth watching.
I really liked it. I liked the tone of it. I thought it was a good movie. There weren't any severe plot holes that I saw, you know.
We got you have a ton of questions, so I think
Seemed well executed.
I think
Yeah.
we should just go through your questions, Mike, because
Let's
we have
just
a ton.
go in. All right, yeah. So, all right, you said this is a reboot. We get another origin story of, actually, maybe this is the first real origin story I've ever seen of the X-Men. Because I've always just seen X-Men in operation. We're in the X-Men mansion doing stuff, right? So, Is this how they formed in the comics?
No. Not even close.
Mm-mm. How did they form in the comics?
Well, it's a long story, but basically, Professor X gathers five individuals, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Hank Pym, Hank, who is the Beast, Iceman,
the Beast.
Okay. And Angel. And he says, hey, you guys are going to be superheroes. And they try to stop Magneto from blowing up a spaceship that's going to get launched.
So out of this cast, only two of the X-Men are from the original X-Men in the comics.
Yes, only the Beast, Hank.
The Beast and Angel.
Angel. And, of course, Professor X. Yep. Wait. Right. No. The Angel you see is not
the Angel. That different Angel?
Yeah, it's a different Angel. So it's only the
Oh, Beast. It's Boy Angel.
Yeah, Yes, and that makes you feel better as Boy Angel. But yeah, it's only the Beast, I think. He's the only one from the
original cast. Okay, so the Beast is the only original. Okay, interesting.
But that's not to say that there's not any hardcore X-Men in here. Cassidy, Banshee, he's old school. He's from the 70s and a few others. So
is he one of the kids?
Yeah, he's Cassidy. He's the guy who's screaming.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there's a couple of them. But yeah, the Beast is the only original one. And this whole thing about Raven and Professor and Charles Xavier being like adopted brother and sister and stuff like that, that did not happen in the comics at all. That is not that the level that they've given Mystique in the movies is off the charts for some weird reason. It's probably because she's naked half the time. so that's why they want her in there. But
yeah, I figure maybe they, you know, the Romaine Stamos, Rebecca Romaine, her version of it was so well liked.
So well liked by
audiences. Yeah. That's why Raven's a big part of this movie too, probably. Probably.
Yeah, and like that's the So this is a very butchered version of the original comic.
If you look at her appliques, the Jennifer Lawrence Mystique. Like mostly her costume is just painting her skin blue. Like she's got a little bit of texture here and there, but mostly it's just blue human skin.
I wouldn't.
So her outfit was pretty easy compared to, I think, what Rebecca Romaine had to go through.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't imagine being basically naked on set. That must feel weird.
Yeah, I guess J Law's you know, she's okay with that.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, you say here, is Sebastian Shaw a real comic book baddie? He is. Sebastian Shaw is a real comic book baddie. I actually like this version.
Kevin Bacon was really good.
Yeah.
At this, this role.
Sebastian Shaw is pretty good. He of course, it's not what you saw in the movie. The movie's completely different. Sebastian Shaw is part of a group called the Hellfire Club. I think that's what's in
the,
I think
they did talk about the Hellfire Club in here. So yeah.
In the comics, the Hellfire Club is a group of mutants who use their powers and also money to make political things happen in the world. There's actually a really, really good comic, a collection of comics called the Dark Phoenix Saga that has to do with the Hellfire Club. I just finished reading it and it's fantastic. It goes over the history of the Phoenix in the comics, and the Hellfire Club is a part of that. So yeah, basically what you see is the Hellfire Club here, which is pretty good.
Sebastian Shaw in the comics an ex-Nazi?
No, I don't think so. He was old, but I don't think he was ex-Nazi, no.
He did not train Eric.
No.
Okay.
No. But I liked how they approached that in the movie. I really did. I think that
it was good.
I think the movie's taken liberties with everything you have to do with X-Men. But, I mean, they take liberties in a way that I don't mind. It's actually okay.
Yeah, it did a good job telling the story. I felt like I was seeing the X-Men getting started for the first time.
I mean, it is. I mean, like, there's so many things wrong here, though. There's so many things wrong. Like, for example, in the comics, Cyclops is the older brother of Havok. And in this movie, Havok is the older brother of Cyclops, which is not correct.
Wait, were either one of those in this movie?
Yeah, dude, Havok.
Havoc?
Yeah, he was the guy who was shot that thing from his chest.
Oh.
Like, did you watch this?
I didn't know that he had a name. What was his name? His name was Alex.
Yeah, Alex. It's Havoc. Yeah.
Havoc, okay. Havoc.
Yeah, dude, it's a big deal. Ugh.
Well, tell us more about Havoc.
What's the actor who played him?
I don't know. I don't even see him in the top cast anywhere.
What's going on?
Yeah.
So in the comics, Cyclops and Havoc are super powerful mutants. When they were kids, the space.
I remember Havoc from back when we played Marvel Snap.
Yeah. So in the comics, they were orphans. Their parents were killed, but not really. But it's a long story. And then the brothers. There's actually three, maybe four brothers. But historically, it's only been two. Really, that you got to deal with Cyclops and Havoc. Okay. And they were orphans, and then after a while, Cyclops joined the X-Men, and then Havoc joined after a while. But the Summers genes, some mutants have very powerful gene pools. The Jean Grey gene pool and the Summers gene pool are extremely powerful. I don't want to get into too much detail, but with Cyclops especially, he has enough power to kill or hurt Apocalypse. And that's why Apocalypse always wants to kind of deal with him because he's
weak. Apocalypse.
You see Apocalypse in the Marvel Snap games, and you're going to see Apocalypse later in the movies. So it's a long
story. Oh, okay, yeah, from Marvel Snap.
Yeah,
Apocalypse wears like a metal suit or something like that.
So when historically in history, you know, the character Cable is the son of Jean Grey and Scott Summers, and the reason why he's so powerful is because their genes, when they create a mutant, when they have a baby, that baby has the genetic material of both of them, and they're super powerful, and that's why this whole thing. So anyway, Havoc, and the same thing applies for Havoc. He's super powerful as well. So he's just a really powerful person, mutant. Basically, he absorbs sunlight, he absorbs cosmic energy, and then he can.
That's kind of like what Sebastian Shaw does in this movie.
Yeah, but like I think Havoc's far more powerful than any other mutant in the movie, but he doesn't know it. And so that's the thing. He's super powerful, but they don't really explore it that much. But he's way more powerful.
No, I mean
he's way more powerful.
They acted like he was pretty powerful in this. Yeah, like he could blow up. He'd be able to take out like
he could blow up a city. You know, he's really powerful. And like the chest suit he was wearing, that chest thing is from the comics. He had to wear gear to control his powers.
Did the Beast create his gear?
No. Don't think so. Okay. You do have a question about Hank. Go ahead.
Yeah, did he ever only have big feet, like, and be fast, and that's the extent of his abilities? He doesn't look weird?
And when he was originally seen in the comics, he had, like, big feet. That the feet that you saw in the movie were pretty realistic of what he had in the comics. And he was fast. And he just had very athletic abilities, yes. So he was, like, very athletic.
Okay. And then so he wasn't originally blue.
No. And then later, something happened to him. I'm not sure, but he turned to black fur, not blue fur. So it was black fur at first, and then it turned blue later. And then that's pretty much what he is now.
That happens in comics a lot because black and blue are used for shading.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. That happened with Spider-Man too, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was originally black and red, but then they used blue ink for his shading, and he became blue and red.
It's very good, Mike. Very good.
Yeah.
So the Beast, his genetic origins are very unstable. I know in the movie he used some of Mystique's DNA to try to heal himself, but it ended up not working. But the connection between Mystique and Hank wasn't in the comics, so don't think that connection is real.
Okay. What do you think about that young Mystique thing?
I don't like it. I don't like. I think for some, I don't know.
I didn't either.
Here's the deal. X-Men First Class. I mean, if you look at X-Men and look at X-Men 2, they really highlight Mystique because everybody liked the character, and we talked about X-Men in X-Men 2. I just love the fact that Mystique's a badass. She's always somebody who's really
cool. Yeah, she had really cool moves.
Yes, exactly. In X-Men 3, she wasn't there long, but then I guess with Mystique, they wanted some kind of sex appeal, I guess, with the movie. Mystique's not that big of an X-Men character, and they had a chance to get Jennifer Lawrence, who's a big name actress, right? Actor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got her in, they made her Mystique, and there you go. You got, you know, almost naked Jennifer Lawrence on the screen. I get that. But it's just not that big of a... I don't know why. Even in this movie, Mystique's not doing much. Now, she's going to do a lot more in Days of Future Past. A lot more.
Oh, okay.
But she's going to be a huge character in that movie. But in this movie, she's not that big a deal. And so it's just...
Hey, do you remember that scene where she's trying to seduce Eric?
Yeah.
Who was the older woman that she converted into?
That was Rebecca Samos.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was the whole joke about it.
I didn't recognize her face.
Yeah, but she's a little bit older. But so yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't. I think what they wanted to do was create the connection between Magneto and Mystique and show that they're like really close. I get that. Because in X-Men 1 and 2, they did have that closeness. But then how Magneto treated her in X3 doesn't.
Now she turns right in the earlier movies. Wasn't she on Eric's side?
Well, at the end of this movie, she turns to Eric's side. She leaves the X-Men, goes with
is
Eric.
She?
Yeah.
Because so, Charles is like, I know you want to. Go ahead.
So that's how it all started. So this movie's trying to answer a lot of the questions that we have from the X-Men, the first two X-Men movies. And it's doing a pretty good job. but, I mean, some of it is just not not great. I don't like how they use Mystique, but that's fine.
Okay. Yes, we get to see Wolverine in here.
Wolverine is in here for a few seconds. It's really funny.
I really like that scene. That was great.
That was really good. Yeah. Everybody likes that scene. It was really good. When I watched it in theater, everybody laughed when they saw that.
Yeah. Anything more about the movie you want to talk about? Because I've just got like some, I don't know, like all these like B-list X-Men in here.
Let me go over all these B-list characters real quick. And talk about who they are and what's going on with them. First, Angel. Yeah. She's a relatively new X-Men character. She was created in the like early aughts. She's not that big a deal, and she's not really.
I did not know that was Zoe Kravitz until I looked at IMDb.
I know, right? She has a weird face. Like sometimes you think it's her, and sometimes you don't. You know, like, yeah. Like, who was that? Let's see, who else? Riptide is the guy who creates those vortexes. He's an old
school. Oh, that's the tornado guy.
Yeah, he's from 1986. He's been around for a while. Let's see. Azazel. Okay, now Azazel came out in 2003.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently
he seems a lot like Nightcrawler.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. There were always rumors that Mystique was Nightcrawler's mother.
Okay.
Now, that's always a rumor. Now,
yeah.
In
right.
the comics, and this is not confirmed, I have to do more research in this. In the comics, Mystique and Azel have a kid, have several kids, and Nightcrawler is one of them. So that's why his powers were very similar, because he's basically Nightcrawler's father.
Okay.
But
he was created in the comics later than Nightcrawler.
Yes, much later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, who else?
Darwin.
Darwin is a kind of a relatively new character, too, in the X-Men. His powers in the movie are very similar to what they are in the comics. However, he's still alive in the comics. They killed him off in this one.
Yeah, I thought he was going to live.
Yeah, it's kind of
his sad. whole stone and metal thing seemed like it would have worked.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
I guess. I don't know.
But now the last character that's really important is the White Queen, Emma Frost. She's a major, major character in the X-Men. She's been around for a very long time. She's a part of the Hellfire Club. She has telepathic abilities. Mm-hmm.
Is she on par with Professor X?
She's close to it. She's very close to it. And she's just very manipulative. She's tricky.
Well, she's got that crystalline thing.
That's a newer power she got in the 90s. So that's a newer power. But she's always been a very tricky, dangerous character. For a long time, she actually joined the X-Men for a little bit. She actually had an affair with Scott Summers. Scott Summers left.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Summers ended up having a relationship with her. It's a whole thing. And then later in the newer comics, she becomes a big deal. Emma Frost is a big deal. I don't think that this movie does her justice. I would like a bigger, more important representation of Emma Frost in the movies. She's an untapped movie character. And if Marvel does start doing X-Men movies, I think Emma Frost should be a big one because she's really awesome as a character. I don't know why they don't utilize her more.
Okay. Did her costume in this movie remind you of anything?
No, porn, I guess. She wasn't really wearing any clothes. I don't know. I didn't like how half naked everybody was in this movie. Like, it's what's going on?
Wait, who?
What, Angel?
Oh, I guess Emma Frost.
Everybody Mystique. Who's a woman, basically?
I was going to say Rose Byrne is also half naked. I guess you got me there.
Yeah, I do. I got more to say about Myra McTaggart. I got more to say about one.
Hang on. But Emma Frost's costume reminded me and my wife of the Fembots from Austin Powers.
Okay, that's fair because, like, you know, if you look at the who's directing it, you know, and everything. What's your wife think of the movie?
She liked it. It was good. Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys haven't watched it before.
I've never seen it. Never seen it.
Crazy. Okay, so this is a big one. I want
Moira McTaggart. Is that a real character?
Yes.
I didn't even think of asking you about her.
Mara. She's been around a very long time. She's been an X-Men for quite a while. Her and Charles actually have a baby together in the comics. Yeah. And so it's a whole thing.
Is she a CIA op in the comics?
No, in the comics, she's just a regular, like, scientist. She's a human. But she's not, and this is really important. In the newer X-Men comics, let me back up. Before in the comics, Mara McTaggart was a friend of the X-Men. She was a human being. She didn't have any powers. She just hung around with Charles, and she was a scientist. Okay, but it was revealed in one of the newer comics recently that she's actually a mutant, and her mutant ability is reincarnation. So when she dies, she comes back alive in another timeline with all the memories she had before. And this is a huge one because it's a whole storyline where Mara McTaggart tries to use her reincarnation powers to save the X-Men from extinction from the Sentinels. Like, so it's kind of complicated, but in the newer comics, there's always a future where artificial intelligence creates the Sentinels, and the Sentinels destroys mutants, but also destroys all of humanity. And Mara McTaggart knows that.
You hear that, people? That's why you got to stop using ChatGPT.
Yes, GPT.
Don't do it.
Generative AI is dangerous. Don't use it. But so then Mara McTaggart realizes this, and she, like, kills herself, lives a new life, learns new things about the X-Men and the mutants. She makes mistakes, but it's such a great, great storyline. If you haven't read modern day X-Men comics, definitely read one. In fact, I think I talked about this in the comics before. It's called House of X. House of X. Pick it up digitally. Pick it up as a print. I bought this in Philly about maybe a year, 6 months ago, and I read it in one sitting. It's super long, super fantastic. Definitely pick it out. I love Mara McTaggart. This character does not represent her at all. But again, super fascinating. Like, she became one of these no-name characters that nobody cares about into a character that's super important for the X-Men lore. So again, super cool. And, like, you don't really get this here, but I'm really curious to see if they're going to do something like that again in the future.
In this movie, she's a CIA operative
That's not in the comics.
She wears strangely sexy lingerie when she's on a stakeout.
Yes, huh? I mean, come on. Like, they were just trying to sell. They were trying to sell so much sex in this. It's like, now that you think about it, it's like, why is?
It's like she's a CIA off on a stakeout, and then all of a sudden, all of these women walk by in lingerie, go into the Hellfire Club, and she's like, oh, let me take off my clothes. I'm wearing the same kind of lingerie they're wearing while I'm on the stakeout.
Hey, what is this, for 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds? Like,
I don't know, dude.
It's so silly.
I was like, what? That's what she's wearing on her stakeout? It's not comfortable.
Yeah, anyway. What else? I want to go more into the movie real quick. Because there's a lot going on.
While we're talking about, like, B-cast people or whatever, there's Oliver Platt plays the man in the black suit.
Yeah.
Is he a guy from the comics?
No.
No, okay.
Nothing worth talking about.
Okay. Oh, did they ever start out with the CIA in the comics?
No.
Okay.
Now, in the comics, Professor X had his school, and he was generally trying to teach mutants how to use their powers, and also
right.
It has superheroes. And this movie's trying to do a bunch of different things at once. The main thing it's trying to do is create the relationship between Professor X and Professor X and Eric Lasher. And they're also trying to explain Eric's powers and how his past being a Jew in the Holocaust and everything else, how that happened. And I think that's really well done. But in the comics, Magneto was in the Holocaust, so that's true. But the relationship between Charles and Professor X wasn't like it is in the movies. The movies make them seem far closer than the comics that they actually were, which is fine.
They've always been chummy in the movies. Yeah. Like they were friends at one point in time.
Yeah. And in the comics,
what was their early relationship in the comics?
In the comics, they knew each other, but this is all being retconned. So the movie, when the movies came out, Marvel would retcon the comics to explain, to kind of make the have a closer alignment to the movies. And they do this all the time, which is fine. But in the original comics, there was no close relationship like that. Not really.
I like the story they tell in this one.
No, I do. What I'm trying to say is that the movie does a really good job using with Eric Lancher and Charles Xavier. I think they do a really good job with these two. I really do. And I think James McAvoy is a really good Professor X. And I think Michael Fassbender is probably my favorite Magneto. I like him a lot as Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
I think
better than Ian McKellen.
Yeah, hands down. I think Ian McKellen is always going to be like the one that I'm like, yes, he's awesome. But Michael Fassbender does a great job. Just the how McNeil learned to use his powers and everything else, and how he became more angry. I mean, that scene in the sub where he has a chance not to kill Sebastian Shaw, and he knows that Charles is in Sebastian's head, but he still kills him anyway, even though like Charles is going to feel that pain. That's classic Magneto, 100%. And one more thing, I'm not sure why, but the Magneto helmet, they really put a lot of like emphasis on it. Like it's just a helmet. In the comics, it's just a helmet. In the movies, it stops.
Like in the comics, it doesn't have the power to block out.
No. Okay. But in the movies, they always kind of be like, okay, this helmet, blah, blah, blah. This is super cool. It's super important helmet. Like it's just a helmet. It's not that big a deal. And like, it's always kind of frustrating to me when they emphasize the helmet so much. It's like
it can get knocked off in a battle and he's like totally fine. It doesn't worry about it too much.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at what Bryan Singer tried to do, Professor X is super powerful. Magneto is super powerful. And as long as Magneto has the helmet, he is immune to Professor X's abilities. And so that was a way to kind of fix that problem. Because it is a real problem. If Charles Xavier could read minds and control minds, he could easily control Eric. So why doesn't he do it? And so they kind of fixed that. But again, it's just too much of a MacGuffin for me. It's just too much of a little prop that gets old after a while.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm trying to figure out other things people need to know about the movie. So there's a cool scene where there's a naval officer, Michael Ironsides. I don't know if you recognize him or not. He did the voice for the Splinter Cell characters, and he's just an old school actor. That scene when he's shooting those nukes, those missiles, and Magneto stops all of them, pretty awesome. Like one of my favorites.
That was pretty cool, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. The scene where Mar McTaggart is shooting at Eric, at Magneto, and Magneto deflects the bullets, and one of them gets into Charles's back.
Yeah.
That is not how Charles lost his ability to walk.
How did he?
I'm not sure if they've retconned this yet, but back in the day when I was reading comics, he fought someone called the Shadow King, and that's how he lost it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that's how...
A lot of bald jokes in this movie. Like two or three. Was he always bald in the comics? Did he lose his hair at some point?
He was always bald in the comics. And they never really explain it, but I think they explain it later in retcon and stuff like that, but he was always bald. I think his baldness was connected to his abilities.
Yeah. I mean, some people just go bald early.
That's true. You know? That's no big deal. Yeah. Let's see. What else? That's pretty much the ups and downs of it. The movie's functional, and I think it's fun. I think some of the action scenes are good. I think that the character who plays Hank is really good. The actor who plays Hank is really good. Nicholas Holt, he's really good as Hank.
Yeah, he was in that gourmet
the menu
movie.
That's a terrible movie. I hate that movie.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
No. I think that James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, they're all great. I think Nicholas Holt is great. I think if you look at this movie as, okay, this is the future of the X-Men, you could be like, oh, I can't wait to see more of their movies.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen next movie is going to blow your mind. And I want, okay. I really, you've never seen X-Men Days of Future Past.
No.
I'm really looking forward to you watching it.
I've never seen any X-Men movie that has Jennifer Lawrence in it.
This was my first time
seeing any of those movies.
This is what's going to happen. You've seen X-Men 1. You've seen X-Men 2, right?
Mm-hmm,
you've seen X-Men 3.
And I saw those originally.
Yes. You're getting ready. You just saw X-Men First Class.
Right.
You have to remember all four of these movies when you watch Days of Future Past. You have to remember them all. Because Days of Future Past is going to do the coolest thing you've ever seen in a movie as far as time travel is concerned. And it's going to be awesome. Okay. It's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward
to it. I'm going to have to go back and listen to our podcasts about those movies because I'm not rewatching
them. Everybody should listen to all those podcasts and everybody should get ready because with Days of Future Past, I'm going to do some extra work.
I'd like to hear that.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to do some extra work. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
So I'm looking forward to the next movie then. I'm not dreading it.
I'm looking forward to it. That's the thing. X-Men First Class is only good because of what's coming next.
So I thought it was good.
It's just fine.
Just as a standalone movie.
It's fine. But it sets up an even cooler movie.
Okay.
Okay, so keep that in mind. Cool. But yeah, I would grade X-Men First Class as a solid B+. It's a little too sporadic for me. Some of the directing choices are questionable. Some of the battle scenes just weren't that great, I don't think. I think Kevin Bacon does a good job as Sebastian Shaw, but the rest of the villains aren't really worth talking about. January Jones is terrible as Emma Frost. I wish they wouldn't have cast her as that. It was not good. You know, Jennifer Lawrence is naked the whole time and doesn't do anything, which is kind of a waste. And that's pretty much it. You know, so, I mean, it's just like, it's
other people would have a different point of view on that, but okay.
Her character doesn't do anything.
That's true. She doesn't actually do anything. Nothing. She's, exposition device.
I guess so, but compared to what she will do.
Right.
You know, like, it's just like odd. It's just odd to me.
Does she get back into doing all those cool moves like Rebecca Romijn did?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. All right. Going in blind.
Mm-hmm. And make sure when you watch Days of Future Past, watch the post-credit scene.
Oh, there's a post-credit scene. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked for one in this. There wasn't one.
Yeah. I mean, this movie's fine. But
I thought it was good. I mean, you gave it a B+. That's better than fine to me.
But I'm going to end it with this.
I give it a B.
Yeah, well, I'm going to end it with this. Yeah. X-Men First Class would have been irrelevant if not for Bryan Singer and what he does next. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I mean, it seems like Matthew Vaughn could have done movies.
I'm glad he
could have done two more movies on this.
I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did.
Very good.
I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't.
Okay.
I don't want to see any more movies from him.
Does the Mystique costume change in the next movie?
What costume? She's naked.
That's what I'm talking about.
So it's not a costume. Does she stay naked? Is that what you're asking? Yes. Answer yes.
Okay.
So you get to see more Jennifer Lawrence naked. Congratulations.
No, okay. All right. I'm just wondering if they increase the amount of rubber on her body or
what? I think it's less.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. I mean, less, costume changes for her. You know, she's what is like a, you know, Drax was like, what, 6 hours? The first version of Drax.
Really?
I think it took him 6 hours to put that on. Yeah. Mm. They got better as the movies went on. Like the last version of Drax was pretty quick, I think. Mm. But yeah, hers looks like it's pretty easy to put on. Mm. After you paint her blue. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for some news you can abuse?
I am.
Okay. First up, okay, I guess we gotta talk about this at length. I wasn't really prepared for it. So they're making Kang Dynasty.
Yeah, are they?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they are, but.
They are.
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
Like, why would they have announced this stuff before the trial gets very far along?
Someone.
Did they announce this stuff?
Someone.
Or is it leaks?
Someone at Disney and Marvel thinks this is a good idea.
Okay.
I completely disagree. I think that after the end.
I think they're going to lose more people if they keep going into this.
I think at the end of Loki, they could have easily just said, we're done. Like, we're done.
Absolutely.
But apparently they're not. There's an article in that I'm going to post in the show notes that talks more about.
They don't have time to tell this story.
Well, it says it's going to come out May 2026. So
they need more movies in between now and then.
It's just a bad idea. I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not good.
I don't understand it. This is, unless they know something we don't, it's just not smart. This is,
what's his name? Bob Eisner? Is that his name?
I guess
the guy
so.
Now?
Dude,
I know he's listening.
I don't want, don't do it. He listens to our podcast. We know for a fact that all Disney executives and Marvel executives listen to our podcast, and they make actual decisions. So you should make sure you listen to our podcast too, because it's going to be very important.
Right. Right.
That's not true. Nobody listens to this podcast.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
But again, I don't want to say anything about Kang Dynasty yet because we don't know what's going on. But
so the reason you say they're making it is there's a new writer attached.
A director attached to it and a writer attached to it, yeah.
Both? Okay. I'd only heard one or the other. I didn't hear that both of them were.
Well, I'm seeing it, so. I don't know. No, I think the writer's attached, but not the director yet.
Okay. Last time we talked, both the writer and director had dropped off the project.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, yeah, they're done with Kang. They're not doing anything with Kang anymore.
But Michael Waldron wrote some of Loki. You know, he created Loki, and
new writer for Kang.
Yeah, the writer for Kang. He created Loki, and he wrote Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So maybe they're like, hey, he can do something cool. Maybe he feels that way.
Maybe.
I think if you look at
they still don't know if they have an actor though.
But listen, if you look at the mood of a generation, okay, for a long time people were really interested in zombies. Then we moved to cowboys and Indians or something like that. I'm just making this stuff up as I go, right?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
And then maybe disaster movie,
and pirates, ninjas and samurais.
Yeah, and now the multiverse was a big thing. In creative stuff, in movies, TV shows, and books, people are done with it.
I'm done with it.
And like, I'll go deeper into this if you want. It makes sense for us to be interested in a multiverse when we're all stuck in a house because of COVID. We're all thinking, is there a world where I don't have to get a disease if I leave the house? I want to know what that world is. So yeah, a few years ago, people were very interested in the multiverse because our lives sucked. I don't think people are that interested in multiverse anymore because, like, they're ready to hear something else. Time travel used to be a whole thing. So, like, I think a good creative director or a good person in the creative field tries to find the next thing, doesn't try to stay in the same thing. So that's why the Kang Dynasty thing is kind of disappointing me. I want people to think in the future. Let's think about what is going to be the new thing before people know this is the new thing. And this isn't it. So,
yeah, it's the old thing.
Next up is we've got some Agatha Harkness spin-off stuff.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Are you?
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, she's a great actress. They've got a solid cast, as far as I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, there's a link to an article with some visuals you might be interested in. There's also I didn't know this, but Aubrey Plaza is in
there. Yeah, she's in the cast. Yeah,
so she's weird. Looking
forward to it.
So that might be something.
She's a perfect witch.
Yeah, I would say that. I would say she's a perfect witch.
She's
yeah.
witchy.
Yeah, I would say that. Also, we have some release dates that might or might not be accurate. So here we go.
Okay.
Deadpool 3, July 2024.
Okay. I dig it.
Brave New World with Captain America. February 2025.
Oh, I was going to say, I almost thought you were going to say late 2024. I was going to be surprised.
These could move. Thunderbolts, July 2025. Blade. So
Thunderbolts is still on.
Yeah, Blade, November 2025. These dates might not even be accurate.
Yeah, I don't know about Blade.
I might post these dates. We'll see, but maybe not. But the biggest news is that I'm surprised that they might want to do the Kang Dynasty.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
They had a perfect out.
They did. And maybe maybe they still do it. I don't know. If I got a good writer like this dude, I would do something else. I would. You know what? And this might be true, Mike. It might not be the Kang Dynasty. They might say it's the Kang Dynasty, but it could be he's going to do something else and they use the Kang Dynasty to keep it secret.
Could be that slot.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this is announced next year and ends up not being the Kang Dynasty. It ends up being something else.
Right.
Because, the Thunderbolt stuff, even Captain America.
It doesn't fit. None of it fits.
No. Even Captain America and Blade. I feel like that's just wipe the slate clean. And I know they put money into these movies, but just wipe the slate clean. Maybe bring out Captain America.
Could you imagine if they forced the multiverse into the Blade movie?
No. Captain America's already been filmed. That movie can come out. But
right.
Bring out Fantastic Four. People are excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems fresh. And it seems different. Anyway.
That would be the worst thing in the world is if they forced
the multiverse into Blade. No, that will not be the worst thing in the world.
Into Blade.
Oh,
it would be the worst thing in the MCU. I don't think Blade's going
to come out, man. I don't know. Anyway.
You might be right. You might be right.
Anyway, they didn't ask us.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
So what are we doing next?
Anyway, next, we're doing X-Men Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past.
I want everybody who's listening to this, if you watched it, cool. If you haven't watched it yet, watch it and then come back next week. So that's the homework assignment. Watch X-Men Days of Future Past. Come back next week and get ready for the podcast to not end all podcasts, but it's going to be really good.
And if you're like me, go back and listen to our previous X-Men podcast episodes as a refresher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're prepared.
Yep. It's going to be great.
Apparently it's going to be a big thing next week.
I just want to hear what you think, because when I saw this movie, I was very happy with it, and I was very impressed, and I'm very curious to see what you think. And we definitely get to talk more about time travel, which apparently people would love for us to talk about.
I like it.
Yeah. I might even do some research on time travel, so I can just really have some scientific articles to back it up.
Interesting. Okay. That'll be great.
My semester's almost over. I have literally almost nothing to do.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking forward to your research on time travel.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Destiny 2 just came out with an update, so I'm just going to play that for a while.
Hey,
I need to buy the new thing to do the new dungeon with you? You can, Mike, but it's pretty big boy stuff. So I don't know if you have
what are you talking about?
I don't know if you have the builds in Destiny 2 to play the new Destiny 2 stuff, so.
No, maybe not. I've been out of it. I've been out of it for a while.
No, you don't. I think you just get more frustrated.
I popped in yesterday and played a little bit.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for the first time in half a year, maybe.
Did I help you with your builds before?
Maybe. No, I don't think so.
We should have a Destiny podcast, I think.
Yeah,
we can do that. There's other people who do Destiny way better than I do.
I do a hunter, and I like to carry a sniper rifle with me.
Well, okay.
That's my build.
Why don't you just play Fortnite? It came out with a new one. Just play that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that today.
Just play that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Fortnite's up your alley, my brother.
Fortnite is good, dude. Don't try to drag down Fortnite.
I'm not dragging it down. If you won't play a kiddie game, that's fine. It's like, I'm not going to judge you.
It's a serious game, dude. There's professional gaming involved in Fortnite. Like,
the word
there's money on the table.
The word serious game, that's not a thing. Okay.
There's money on the table with Fortnite.
Yeah, because everything's money on the table. There's money on the table for everything. Yeah. They rich people take money from every place you can possibly imagine. There's money everywhere.
I'm saying I could play Fortnite, and if I got good enough, I could win money by playing Fortnite.
Yeah, I could also cure cancer and get money off of that.
Can you do that in Destiny?
No, I don't. My video game time is spent doing something I love without the shackles of capitalism around it.
I don't participate in those games. I'm just saying, if I wanted to, anyway, that's how serious Fortnite is.
People need to listen to this podcast. They need to listen to it because we're going to have a great podcast for Days of Future Past. Yes. How can people share this with their friends and family?
Just tell your friends. Let them know about it. And hit the share button. That'll make it easier. Leave us a review if you can. Maybe hit a star button somewhere or a thumbs up. All that stuff helps. We really appreciate it. If you're like a recent listener on Mastodon, you can write a post about how you've started listening to this new podcast and you're really loving it. That was super awesome. Really appreciated it.
Awesome. Yeah. Keep it up. We love you guys. We love our fans. And we love doing this podcast. All right. Yep. I will see you next week, Mike. Days of Future Past. X-Men. Days of Future
More Past. More X-Men.
Days of Future Past.
X-Men going to give it to you.
X-Men going to give it to you in the past.